Well, this morning we're going to go back over in our teaching, and I entitled it, Be Led by the Spirit, from the standpoint as a command. Because really it is a command to us to be led by the Spirit of God. Because as a Christian, as the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me when I was a young Christian, I was only a young Christian for a couple months, and He said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you won't amount to anything as a Christian. And I learned over the years, if we would look, I'm talking about, not here, but over the entire what we call Christianity, most of Christianity has amounted to nothing. Because it follows men's ideas, men's plans. It's not led by the Spirit of God. They take things and quote scriptures and use stuff, but really they don't know what God is doing. They don't know God at all. This morning I was meditating on some things, and I thought over the things, and there were just certain things that struck me in my heart was the fact of areas that I know how God responds, and I know His character personally in areas that I've developed in over time. And I was thinking about that. I thought, I know exactly what He'll do and how He'll act in a situation. I've learned exactly how He'll respond to me, or He won't, if I don't respond to Him in a certain way, how He won't respond to me. That He expects me, we're in communion. It's just like anybody in a relationship with each other. That relationship is stymied if people don't respond to each other right. There's rules to responding. If my rule is, I'm going to smack somebody on the head to get their attention, I shouldn't be despised if they don't respond to me well. We take little children. We have little kids. When they're learning how to talk, you ever sit down and try to figure out what they're trying to say to you? They're really going to town trying to figure it out. And we learn to respond to them by certain ways and things that they do. And they really, because they're not responding to you correct, but you look at them as children. But as they get older, I found out this with God. If I don't respond or ask certain things specifically, He don't respond to me. He expects me. See, this is throw out that saying, God knows your heart. That will destroy your Christian life. God might know exactly what I want, but if I don't tell it to Him and speak it to Him, He don't respond to me. Jesus didn't say you don't have to pray, God knows. Jesus didn't say that. Christianity, in our nice little cliche Christianity, has destroyed the church. It's destroyed the church. God may know my heart. God may know I'm a good person, but the devil can still eat my lunch. And see, I found out God expected me to respond on things and ask Him certain things specifically. I learned over time. I mean, I went some time for up to over a year on a certain thing that really didn't respond to God about the situation the way I should have, and He didn't talk to me at all about it. And as soon as I responded to Him like I should have, He talked to me. That's why many people say, well, God don't talk to me. Why? Because you're always going goo goo da 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 boo 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 boo, and it ain't tongues. It's because you keep responding to God like a baby. You need to grow up. Hey, we need to grow up. We need to understand that. We're living in a Christian world where people are praying and there's no answers to prayer. People are praying and getting nothing. I'm going to tell you what, that isn't God's plan. God's plan is my prayer gets answered every time. That's the plan. Well, it ain't always worked, and I know this. It's never been God's fault. It must be Ed's. It's never God's fault. It is always mine. Because God will respond. The Bible says He will. So what am I doing wrong? See, I used to start it off going goo goo da da and all that kind of stuff, and He'd respond, but He don't do that anymore. You can't keep going in that direction. He expects us, to grow up and develop and learn to talk. And God wants workers together with Him. That's what He's looking for. Most Christians, I'm not talking about here, but the church in general is babies in a crib. Majority of the body of Christ are babies in a crib to be taken care of. They are not workers together with Him. God wants us out of the playpen. He wants us to be workers together. He wants to entrust you with stuff. He wants you to entrust things concerning your mouth and your authority to bring things to pass. For what you say will happen. He wants you. He don't want you to always having to be going to Him about everything. He wants you to develop just like on a job. You know, you go out here, you work for somebody. When I went to, you know, work at places, they would train me to do certain things. They expected me to just do that, what I was trained at. You know, I found this out with supervision. You know, you always get those employees that don't do anything unless you stand over them and tell them to do it. And I'm going to tell you, they're the worst employees of the bunch. They're the worst. They'll say, well, I always do what the boss says. Yeah, but if the boss don't tell you, you can know what to do and won't do it, you lazy bum. They don't take responsibility. Hey, you need to understand that. If you're like that, in the kingdom, you're going to go nowhere. Because God will require you to do what you need to do. The Bible says this, if you know to do good and do it not, it's called sin. That's what it says. And if you sin, the wages of sin is death. Disobedience in knowing what to do. So God wants you to come to the place when you know what to do, you just do it. He'll back you up on it. If you know what to do and you respond to it. When you, like, you know, learn to develop. I learned this when I worked, like, say, at Reese Candy Company. The more I developed on my job and understanding of it, the more they gave me leeway to make decisions on my job and what to do. I never had a supervisor that I ever worked for a long period of time that didn't like the way I worked because I'd just take care of things he wouldn't have to. But I liked it. I hated that going around trying to find a supervisor all the time. But if you become a good employee, you know what to do, what needs to be done. And you go ahead and you become a part and a help. And that's what you do. That's what you want to do. God wants you to be like that. God don't want to have to sit around and tell you to do everything all the time. That you have to. God wants you to learn how His kingdom operates and what He does in situations. And when you need to do something, Jesus didn't get out in the boat and the storm was coming and held a prayer meeting. That's why most people die, because they start praying when they should have grown up and stood up and said, storm, stop! And they die out there, folks. That's what goes wrong. We got this baby Christianity. We're praying to hear what God wants us to do. Well, I got enough sense to know God ain't sending a storm to kill me. I know what to do. I done read the Bible. Jesus didn't hold a prayer meeting. He stood up and said, peace be still. The church today will hold prayer meetings. They hold a lot of prayer meetings for a lot of things they never have to hold a prayer meeting for. And what they should be praying about, they never pray about. Kenneth Hagin said, the church majors in the minors. Anything of minor importance, that's all they do. And anything of major importance, they don't know a thing about. And see, we need to develop. We need to develop. Hey, this day and hour, I don't know about, the devil is destroying people. He's killing, stealing, destroying nations. He's doing all kind of stuff. And we can't sit around and just continually be babies and God has to tell us, you know, get out from in front of the barrel of that gun. It'd be a good idea, you know. Dear Lord, we got to become smart enough on our own. He wants you to mature to the place. And you know, that's what He brought me through. I'm totally amazed because as a young Christian, God taught me these things early. One of the things I'm always glad about the family I came out of, because my parents always made us take responsibility. I feel so sorry for people come out of these weak-willed parents that are always whiners and criers and never make their kids, never discipline them and do things, never make their kids do stuff. They just, you know, they raise them like themselves, lazy and everything else, expecting everybody else. And you know, what happens is people grow up and they just sit around waiting for everybody else to do something for them. And you know what? They get over in the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand that. That's the type of Christian they become. That's the type of Christian they become. Now, they don't have to. But see, what happens? People get over. They get used to that baby lifestyle, a pattern. And you know, if you don't do it, somebody else's fault. You know, if it don't work out for you, it was the other guy's fault. Somebody should have fixed that for you. And all that kind of stuff. And they get over in Christianity. And they think God's that way. And He won't do it for them. He won't do it for them. And so, you know, he's getting over the thing. God wants us to grow up. He wants people. And this is where we're dealing with being led by the Spirit of God. God dwells in your own human spirit. We've been teaching on that. We talked the scripture, you know, I read more than I did before, but the scripture in Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, I might get born again and become a child of God, but I'll never live like a child of God till I learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, God dealt with me as a young Christian about that. That was one of the great efforts, is to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And so we need to, without doubt, need to be led by the Spirit. In Romans 8:16 said, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with what? Our spirit. It bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God." Every Christian should know that they're a child of God, not just because something's written on a page on a book. You should know by the Spirit in you. You're born of God. You should be in contact with the Holy Ghost knowing that you're a child of God. I'll tell you, I can look to the inside and Ed knows he's a child of God. I'm born of God. They could take the book and burn it, change his knots, too late. Ed knows he's a child of God. Hallelujah. I got the witness in me. The witness in me is the Holy Ghost bearing witness with me that I belong to God. See, the word people got legalistic on the word. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're a legalist. I'm just going to tell you that. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're a legalist. Whether you like it, if you can't hear what Spirit of God's doing and saying, you're a legalist, because you're just going to follow things written on a page. God didn't intend that. It didn't work for Israel. It won't work for you. They had to have that. They weren't born again. You and I got the best. Hallelujah. You're born of God. You're a child of God. You have the nature of God. And God lives in you. Whoa! Why would we want just the book? You can have the book and the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can have the book and the Spirit. Whoa! There ain't nothing better. Hallelujah. See, you want to know, because there's things in life that come along. See, this is why people, if they get over and they mess up and they sin, people who are not led by the Spirit live on in guilt. Even though they ask God to forgive them, they live on in guilt. Oh, I did this wrong, and I did that. It's because they're not in contact with your inner man. You get in contact with your inner man. You know what the Holy Ghost will say? What sin? I don't know nothing about that. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. You're forgiven. You see, that's why you want to be in contact on the inside. If you're a legalist, your mind is just going to always run over in that area of condemnation, you know. And so that's why you want to be led by what's on the inside of you. The life of God. The Bible tells us, we on the inside is where we got the peace. On the inside is where we got the joy. We're always trying to have it on the outside. People today are looking for peace in this earth. Well, there will be. Jesus is going to show up one day and kill all the bad guys. It's going to get good. Now, until then, you're praying for world peace. You'd be better off drinking in a bar somewhere. You'd probably be more productive. At least you get drunk and out of your misery. And maybe not think so dumb. It ain't going to happen that way. But in the midst of this world we live in, Jesus said, in the world there's tribulation, there's trouble. I've overcome it. I can live at peace in a world that's nothing but trouble. I can live at peace not wringing my hands, not worried. I don't know about you, that's good news. But see, that's a life living, life lived through the Spirit, and not a life lived where the outside dominates and the outside rules. So we want to live over and walk in that area of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Last week we spent time on this thing of Proverbs 20:27, a wonderful scripture. It says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart." The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. We talked about God enlightens us through our spirit. That's where we come in contact with God. Now, we need to understand is God manifests himself at times in the natural realm. But you're not going to know God through manifestation of the natural realm. You'll know what he does. See, there's a big difference. You can know what somebody does by what they do, but to really know that person is a different thing than what they do. You know? How many times have you seen there's been people who maybe their outward conduct, there's things they did were really great, but when you find out what kind of person they were, they ain't a very good person at all. See, you can't know a person specific. People can hide what they are. You need to learn to know God. See, people talk about God's love and God's forgiveness. If you're not a person of the Spirit, you don't know what you really don't know what that's about. See, it's one thing. It's like you people hear me say, and I know sometimes I've had over the years, just people get upset with me, and God don't want people sick. God don't make anybody sick. People get upset about that. God always will always heal everybody. People don't like that. The reason they don't like it, they don't know God, and I do. That's why. They don't know God, I do. And they don't like to hear that. Why? Because they're full of the world. They live in the flesh. Jimmy died, and he got saved. He was a good Christian. He died, so they're more one, than, well, if we say God wanted him well, then Jimmy didn't understand, and I don't want to admit that. So I'd rather just be sick and live a lie than receive the truth. We got to walk in the truth. God enlightens us on the inside, and that's what He wants to do. God wants to reveal Himself. Through your spirit, God can become so real to you. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, when I was a young Christian, I heard it, and it became a goal for me when he said, I know God better than my wife laying in the bed beside me. And I thought, my God. Sometimes I wonder if I knew my wife laid in the bed beside me. Well, over time and development, you learn more and more about a person. You marry somebody, you don't know when you got married them. You know a little bit about them, but you really learn to know a person. And sometimes you wish, my God, why didn't I have a gun in the beginning? I wouldn't. But we know God, and I learned this over time. I can tell you something. I mean, understand, from a relationship standpoint, I understand more what Kenneth Hagin was talking about that, because there's one thing. See, humans, we change, and sometimes we need to change. But I know God better than my wife. God never changes. Once I found out about Him in an area, it changes not. And I know God better than I do my wife. I know more about how God would react, because sometimes people may not always react the same way, or they may not, concerning a situation. I can know how God will do. I can know what God does. I can know how He acts. I can know and I know what Kenneth Hagin was talking about. And you can get to know God so well. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. There's a whole lot for me to learn more about God. Probably a whole lot for me to learn about my wife, too. She probably thinks so, eh? She's back there going, hi, God. Okay, all right, okay. All right, you had your say, that's it. This is Father's Day, Let's not go too far. Hallelujah. But see, God wants to enlighten you on the inside, and God wants to, that's where God communes with you and fellowships with you. Because we live in a world, things constantly changing and constantly going on. You can't judge what's going on with God because of what's going on with the world. See, many people look at what's going on in the world, is how a lot of preachers out here, because of what's going on in the world. They're saying, well, God has it doing it this way because the end's coming. No, the end's coming, and the end is coming, but you need to understand what's happening in this earth is because of what men did, not God. You need to understand, God's plan for man is all men be saved. That's the plan of God. God's plan is not judgment. That was never God's plan. That's what God has to do. But man decided he wants judgment instead of righteousness. He wants judgment instead of mercy. He decides that. It doesn't matter if man might say, I want mercy, but his actions are for judgment. And we need to understand the difference. You can say, God, have mercy on me, and then, but your actions might only get judgment out of the deal. You got to move in the right direction. So God wants to enlighten you. God wants to work in you. We talked some last week about Adam. And, Adam's fall, and Adam fell. But God's plan for man, God created man like He is. And you need to understand this in a real sense. You are more like God than Adam was when you got born again. Because you need to understand, Adam was created in the earth, and when he sinned, he fell from grace, the grace of God. Mankind had to wait till Christ sent. God sent Christ into the earth to be redeemed. You and I sin. We don't go and become, just because you and I missed the mark, we don't turn around and lose salvation because I missed the mark. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam couldn't say, hey, look, Father, forgive me for what I did, and kept his salvation, or in other words, kept his eternal, kept that life of God in him. He couldn't do that. You and I are in a higher place than Adam is. We're more like God than Adam was. Adam was created like God, but through Jesus Christ, you took on eternal life itself. The Holy Ghost can live in you. And we need to know, Adam was not created in perfection, he was created in innocence. There's a total difference. Adam wasn't perfect. If Adam was created perfect, he'd have never sinned. He wasn't perfect. There's a difference between Jesus and Adam. You and I got to be like Jesus. Most Christians think they're Adam. And that's why they live like hell. That's right. You get thinking you're the wrong person, you'll live like the one you think you are. You and I were created in the image and the likeness of God through Christ Jesus. You don't need to have a tree of life to go eat off of. You are. You have been made in the life of God. You have eternal life in you. You don't have to go eat some fruit off a tree to get over into the glory. God already lives in you. Hallelujah. So we need to put on the right kind of thinking. See, man mostly looks at the natural. Our society deals, at least in the church world, deals 90% with the outward man instead of the inward man. I want you to go over with me to John, the 4th chapter, because I want to look at that, because if we led by the Spirit, you're going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit if you want to put the outer man in his place. You got to learn to be led by the Spirit. It can't work any other way. The Lord spoke to me about these scriptures. It's amazing. I have all these notes here. I got up to something like 14 pages of notes. I ain't even got off the first page yet. I had all those notes. I wonder why I did all that. God has a different things He's doing. But the Lord began to speak to me yesterday on these scriptures, and I want to go over here. This is the a woman at the well of Samaria, is what Jesus Christ said. We want to look at this in John the 4th chapter. In verse 19 it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father.'" Now he's talking about, understand, Jesus' reference to God is Father. In other words, God's His Father. He's reworshiped. He talks about worshiping the Father. So his reference here is to God, not God in general, like people today use God. He's talking about Father. There are other religions, they ain't got a Father. They got a God. And he's the guy that, you know, you try to do everything about your life to please him, and all other religions, he's hard to please. He's hard to please. And most Christians preach Jesus Christ like we're in another religion, like we're just, oh, we're out here pleasing. God's got the big heavenly swatter out, and he's waiting to whack you with it. So he said that the time was coming that they weren't going to worship on the mountain, that Mount Samaria set on a mount. Samaria sat there, and they had a temple there where they worshiped God. And he said over in Jerusalem where they worshiped God. But he said, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvations of the Jews." God had made a covenant with the Jews. And the Jews had a covenant with God the Father. These other people were in a search for the Father, but they, you know, you need to understand this. They weren't worshiping God. They were an attempt to do so. But it wasn't working. It didn't work. And we need to understand this. Just because we have a worship system, that doesn't mean right. We want to look at this because it says, Jesus made this statement then to her. He said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will what? Worship, will worship the Father, will worship, not will if he wants to or what he wants to do. He will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." What's God seeking? He is seeking people who will worship Him in the Spirit, not people who will worship Him. The church world is off base because they think just because they worship, then they're, you know, that's happening. Like we sing songs this morning. I could be singing songs this morning and never have worshiped. Have never done anything in the Spirit. Not operated out of our hearts or out of the Spirit at all. Worship can come totally from the soul. Most people worship from the soul realm. They worship out of their soul. Because most people, they couldn't worship unless they were in a worship service. They couldn't worship. They need to have somebody else's music on or somebody doing something so they can worship. That is not worship. I can worship God any old time out of my spirit. I'm going to tell you, when I get over in, I get down in this, the inner man, he likes God a lot. He don't have to drum something up to praise God. He don't have to. This is what Jesus Christ in 1987 appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin. It was the longest vision that Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin at any period of time. It's like 2.5 hours. Talked with him. Jesus Christ told him, the church knows a little bit about praise and nothing about worship. Well, I'll tell you, I think it went backwards since then. I don't know if a lot of the church even knows what praise is. You need to understand why. Because they think, well, it's song, music, musicians playing. Is that what Jesus said? See, the church has missed it. What we think worshiping God's a song. You know, worshiping God's a life, man. It's not a song service. It's not. See, when people talk about thinking they're worshiping God, we need to understand because, you know, there's many. I mean, you can go out here. I think it was Reinhard Bonnke made this statement some years ago. Reinhard Bonnke was out in California and they had the religious broadcasters and publishers. You know, they have this big convention, you know, this huge convention they had. And all of them get together and he said he went to the convention and he said, all the music, all the televised stuff, all the published information, he said, that the American church has, he said, is absolutely phenomenal. And he said, I never met such a bunch of cold people in my life. Ooh. That's what Reinhard Bonnke said. I think what Bonnke know, cold and hot. I think he'd know a little bit about it. But you know, he wouldn't have had to go there. He could have come to Ed Gibson. I'd have told him that a long time ago. I just said, you don't have to go there, waste your time with ticket going there. You know, go preach to somebody. These people are cold. See, we have all this stuff, and see, we think we got all this information and all this stuff. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I spend more time with the book and just listening to the Spirit. I don't need 47 books and 47 things different to find out and hear something from heaven. If you realize how little time that I spend and all these other books and all this other stuff. You know, today, people, you know, we got to have all of our things, you know. And you know what it is? We're going to keep looking to what somebody else says and what somebody... I need to hear from heaven. And it was nice yesterday. God gave me two areas of scriptures and said, you can talk about those. I said, that'd be nice. What are we going to talk about? Well, see, I get over there reading them. Now, I want you to listen to this. Here is verse 24. I want you to hear 24. You need to hear this. Listen to this. God is a spirit, it says. God is a spirit. Jesus said this. God is a spirit. And those who worship Him, if they feel like it, or maybe sometime, or if they have some other way, they ought to worship Him in the Spirit once in a while. He said they must. They must. They must. They must. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. They must. God said they must. You know, I've never heard anybody emphasize that till yesterday. The Holy Ghost emphasized that to me and showed me. He said they must worship Him. Must. He didn't say, well, if you'd like to, or He said you must. I was teaching, you know, over in the area. I laid some foundational work on teaching on healing on Tuesdays. So one of the things, and I shared with them about things you, there's things that you should do and there's things you must do and there's things that the Bible said you must do. This is one of them that you must do. You know, if there's things you should do. You know, you should wash your car once in a while. You don't have to, you know. You just let it look filthy and crawl in that ugly thing and just, you know, let everybody else crawl in that ugly thing that you don't ever take care of. But you know what? You do have to put gas in it every once in a while to drive it. You must do that. If you don't ever do that, you're going to be in trouble. We find out, and there's things about life. There's things you can do, but there's things that you must do, you know. And here's a must do. You must. God is a spirit, and those worship Him must. If you're going to worship God, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Did you notice He put spirit first and not truth first? You'll always find the Bible does it. There's an important thing that we need to understand about the Bible. Things were written in sequences for a purpose. Things were written in sequence because the truth or the Word of God is of little value if you don't flow in the Spirit. It's of little value. Now the Word is very helpful in flowing in the Holy Ghost. Very helpful. You need the Word of God. But you need the Spirit. You need to operate out of your spirit. You're born again. You're not like the person, you know, the Jew that was not born again, living under the law. You're nothing like that. You were born of the Spirit of God. We were in Romans 8. Romans 8 says to us, you know, that we're in the Spirit if Christ is in us. It says we're in the Spirit. It says you're in the Spirit if truly Christ is in you. You're in the Spirit. See, many Christians, if they would get to start to thinking and change the way what they say and what they talk, they could become spiritual. But they don't become spiritual because they walk around talking. Well, we're trying to get in the Spirit. Well, it'd be nice to know that if I was there, it's easier to get to flow over in it if I start agreeing with the Word instead of some religious guy that wrote a book. That he's still trying to get in the Spirit. He's still trying to get there. Now, what keeps you and I from flowing in the Spirit is walking in the flesh and thinking fleshly thoughts, thinking carnal thoughts. Now, I'm not talking about thinking evil things or bad things. That could be religious stuff. Religious stuff that's carnal. Religious stuff is carnal. It's sensual. It's things to satisfy the flesh. You know, there's people that their flesh, you know, is just as much lust toward things of religion as somebody would toward sex. Their flesh gets great gratification out of their religious junk. Oh, yeah. Some people like that are worse off. The others sometimes can be fixed. Some of them people, they get so far over there, they can't even talk to them anymore about stuff. They get so hooked up. It's the gratification that they receive from the fleshly walking after things of God. Becomes such habit to them and everything else. It's just a terrible addiction that they have, trying to break those bonds over them about religion. Trying to break those. And boy, you touch those things and the flesh don't like it. You know? The reason if you have trouble with the areas of change, it's because you have flesh problems. That's what I found out. You know, I never found out it was something else. It always deals with a flesh problem. And we're going to talk about dealing with that. And I want you to look at over in a scripture in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, something Paul said. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this yesterday. I haven't taught it along this line before. Even with these scriptures, I haven't taught them along these lines. I'm teaching how to be led by the Spirit totally different than I've ever taught about being led by the Spirit. And I personally think it's better than I've ever taught it. It sure helped me. Somebody else, it's helped me. But I want you to look at in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 23, says this. Paul made this statement. It's in a closing to the letter, his first letter to the Thessalonians. But he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Now listen to this. He said, "May he sanctify you completely." Now we talked about where sanctify means to be set apart. We're born again and set apart to God. But we need to understand what that means. I am set apart to God in my spirit. My spirit is born again. Your spirit is born again. You are set apart to God. Your inner man was born of God. It's been you're a new creation. With the life and the nature of God, you're completely sanctified spiritually. That's what happened to you when you got born again. Now you want to keep it like that. If you get over and get born again, but you can get stuff into your spirit that's wrong. If you don't watch yourself. But here's what he says. Now Paul made this statement. He said, "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "May your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body, may your whole spirit, your soul, and body, all of it, not some of it, all of it, what be preserved blameless." See, we need to understand, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Now, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this. He made a statement. He made this statement to me. He said, I said, put spirit, soul, and body. He said, I put them in that order. He said, number one, if you want your whole spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless, he said, you're going to have to first deal with the area of the spirit. If you don't understand yourself as being a spirit person, you are never going to sanctify the soul nor the body. And when I thought about that, I thought, well, yeah, that's exactly, really, that's how Kenneth Hagin taught me. That's how I learned. See, number one, most people, this is what Christianity has done. People get born again, and the first thing they try to teach them is how to sanctify the body. And they know nothing about the realm of the spirit. And what happens? Now look, there's nothing matter with, if you need the law to keep you under, well then get the law, you know, because if you can't do it, then get the, you know, put the law up in your house on there. You know, I don't have any Ten Commandments up because I don't need them. It's already written in my heart. I don't need it on the wall. That's for sinners. You know, that's why they ought to put them in courtrooms. That's what it's for, sinners. As for people who break the law, I don't need Ten Commandments. Any Christian that has to be reminded of Ten Commandments is because they're carnal. Because if you hurt your spirit, you ain't going to steal, lie, cheat, you know. You ain't going to turn around and be a fornicator, adulterer, or homosexual. You ain't going to be none of that stuff. People do that and are Christians because they live by the flesh. Why, if you live out of the inner man, your inner man will tell you that's wrong. I don't know about yours, mine does. My inner man chews me out sometimes. I don't know about it. If your conscience don't bother you when you sin, you scare me. You scare me. You don't want to get over in that area. Well, you can sin. See, my conscience don't bother me. Whoa, I don't want to go there. My God, I lived where my conscience didn't bother me, and that's where I got saved. I don't want to go back to that. When I sinned and loved it. I sin now, and my real man don't like it at all. He talks to me about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he said, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I... He didn't say, I'm going to do this or God's going to do this. He said, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. This is something dealing with us. Preserving our spirit, soul, and body. In other words, the thing that you need to come in contact first if you're going to walk in the things of God is first come in contact with the fact of what we're teaching on. You're a spirit being. You're a spirit being. You are not a mental being, and you are not a body being. You have a body. You live in it. You have a soul. You live in a body. You have a soul. But you are a spirit being. You're like God. God is looking for those who worship Him. It didn't say worship Him in soul. It didn't say worship Him. You know, I'm going to serve God with all my mind. Well, I'll tell you what, no telling what religion you're going to start. I'm going to tell you this. See, we do a lot of this stuff and we say a lot of these things, and this leads the church to carnality. God desires that I worship Him. Now, He wants my mind working properly. He does. But it is so my mind allows my spirit to do what it wants to do. Your mind can quote scriptures and then you go do the wrong thing. It's about the freedom of the inner man to be able to live out the life of God. You have the life of God in you. That's what you were created in. And God wants you to be able to live out that life. I don't know, did your mind ever get in opposition? Did your mind say, yes, but you don't know what they did? Or yes, I know God wants me to do that, but didn't He see my checking account lately? Didn't He ever look at that? I know you've never had that. I'm the only guy that gets, you know, sometimes. I know I get in those areas sometimes. But you guys are a lot more spiritual than me. Okay. But see what happens. Your mind, but there's a thing that if you want your mind to change, we talk about the renewing of the mind. The word says this, that we should be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, one of the things that we do, we need to understand this. Most of us sitting right here, when we hear the word spirit, we don't always think of it the way they do. We, lots of times, talk about it in the way the world does. You know, they'll talk about a horse is really a spirited. Well, I'm sorry, ain't a horse, ain't got no spirit at all. The reference that they're using to spirit has nothing to do with what the Bible's talking about the spirit realm. And we use this term spirit for certain things, but we need to understand you can't relate it to what the Bible's talking about spirit. The Bible doesn't ever use those terms as spirit, as in, you know, that's a very spirited horse you got there, or, you know, that's a very spirited dog or a chicken or whatever. You know, we don't ever talk of it. The world uses those, but the Bible doesn't. When the Bible is talking about spirit, it's talking about our realm. It's talking about what God is. It's talking about what we are. It's talking about realm. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind needs to be renewed by your spirit. The renewing of the mind comes out of the inner man. It doesn't come out of the mind reading stuff. If you don't get the stuff that you read and study in the Word and the preaching and things you hear, you don't get it in your spirit, it is never going to produce much of anything. The more you get the Word in your spirit, the greater influence it has on your mind. The Word, anything does. Whatever you do out here in the natural, whatever you let get into your spirit the most is what's going to affect your mind the most. Your mind. Now, you need to understand this. If we want to bring the outer man under control and live a sanctified life, we're going to have to do it like God does, says to do it from the inside out. First, you start with the spirit, then you go to the soul, then you go to the body. It is a whole lot easier to sanctify the body when the mind and the spirit are both operating in the same direction. The mind, your mind must begin to think like the inner man thinks. Your mind needs to start moving in that direction. That's why you need to be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is the great teacher. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word is not revealed to the mind of man. If it was from that standpoint to the outside, then anybody who is the smartest person would be the most led by the Spirit, and we'd have all these geniuses in our colleges today, wouldn't be living like hell and stealing and everything else and doing every kind of evil thing you can think of under the sun. I mean, colleges would be great places where God reigns and rules. Well, it's not. Why? Because men, they can read what they want and your mind will come up with anything. And you take people with dead spirits who are not born again, their mind will believe anything and come up with any idea that pleases their flesh. Because they will. A person who is not saved will always be geared toward, dominated toward the flesh ruling them. Why? Because their mental processes are from the outside, and that's what's going to dominate and rule. And then they got a dead spirit inside saying, go get him, tiger. Go ahead, let's send him up. Let's get it done. But see, you and I are born again. God wants you to know, see, you're like God. You're like God. You're like He is. He gave you His very own life. See, I don't care where you seem to be in your sanctification life. If you want to move on, you're going to have to start to talk about yourself and begin to speak about yourself like the Bible says. You're going to have to. You can't succeed any other way. You're going to have to talk because what it does, see, there's a lot of this teaching out here, and you know, like Christians use these kind of things. They take an Old Testament scripture and say, men's hearts are always to do evil. Not long ago, I heard a minister read that and said about his people in the church, said this, men's hearts are always to do evil. And I thought, man, then you need to get saved, buddy. If your heart is only to do evil, and I'm a born-again Christian, not, heaven's going to be hell. Because heaven's going to be full of spirit beings who's always wanting to do evil. So God's going to turn around and get rid of one devil and bring another 100 billion of them in. You know, so something. You know, it's like, dear God. But see, this is because men in their ignorance, their religion is nothing but men's thoughts and men's ideas. You are a child of God. You are born of God. You need to speak of yourself as the spirit being you are. When you die, your body is put in a box in this earth and put in the ground, or they whatever they do, whether a person's cremated or whatever they do, or the dogs drag it off or whatever. I don't know. But look, it ain't nothing but a body. Get over it. People worry so much about what the body, the body. I'm like, oh, shut up. If anybody knew of anything about the spirit, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. They're worried about the body. I don't care where the body goes. When Ed croaks, he's going to heaven. You guys do whatever you want. Have a big time. I don't care. Because Ed ain't going to be here. But what goes to heaven? Your spirit. Why? Because it's like God. It communes with God. It's hooked up. God the Holy Ghost has been living in it. God the Holy Ghost, it goes to be with God. And if you don't understand that, your body don't go to heaven. I guarantee you, loads of people say, man, we fussed over our body in this earth. Did we ever waste our time? We wasted our time trying to keep this body happy down here. And we do, we waste our time. Because our body would be a lot happier if we became more spiritual. You know, your body, the more spiritual you become, the more healthy you become. Your body would like that. But see, we look at that backwards. We're always trying to work from the outside in. You know, let's fix the body up stuff and do all the things to the body. You know, and that's the church world today. Church world, all their diets and all their books they put out on how to take care of the body. The ministers, you know, get the doctors on TV, on their shows to tell us all how the body, 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 the body. But you know what? It is a money maker. And you need to know this, the money which is over dealing with the body is flesh, you know, over that side, the physical is much more important to most. It isn't spirituality. Most Christians, you made them spiritual, they wouldn't give to half these guys. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, they wouldn't give to them. The reason, it's the fleshly. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them on TV, and the only reason they're making such big money is because they're so fleshly. They know how to play to people's flesh, and they know this. Most Christians are fleshly. They know how to get you to jump through their hoop. They know how to get to your feelings quickly. And they know if they can get to your feelings, they can get to your wallet. I'm going to tell you, my wallet's tied to my heart. Glory! And the people, I just want to tell you this, people whose wallets are tied to their flesh never give as much as the guy who's tied to his heart. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Ed, I'll tell you. Now we're dealing over here. Now we need to understand. So you need to become spirit conscious, because your spirit will reveal to your mind the things of God. Revelation comes from the heart. It does not come from the head. It's not outward. I don't get a revelation. You know, I sat down and I've read these scriptures here many times over the years, but I read them yesterday, and inside of me, I just knew some things when I started reading them. The Holy Ghost started to reveal certain things to me about these scriptures on how to teach them and what to do. I hadn't done before. That came in the inside. My mind was enlightened by what went on in the inside. I heard it on here. It enlightened my mind. It didn't come from the outside somewhere. I couldn't have got it from just reading it. If it had done it, I'd have had that before. See, most people don't operate off of revelation. They operate just off of what they read and what they believe words said. I've said this before. I want to say it again. I don't care who knows Greek and can write all the things they want to about Greek. If the Holy Ghost tells me something, it overrides everybody's translation. because nobody's Greek or Hebrew can give you revelation from the Word. Ever, never. If your revelation comes because of somebody just giving a definition could be helpful, but the Holy Ghost is the revealer or the one who gives revelation. There is no Greek, you know, concordance or Hebrew concordance that's a revelation from God. Because I can show you different ones of them, and they one will say it means this, one will say it means that. But I tell you, if I want to know what it means, get talking to God about it. Hallelujah. See, we need to know this. See, people get over. This is one thing. Education can be our defeat. It don't have to be. I'm not against education. I think somebody ought to have a brain somewhere and can use it. It'd be nice to, in our country to have that happen. It'd surprise me, but praise God. But I want to tell you what. Christians should be the most intelligent, smart people in the earth. We should be the most and smart. Anybody who knows what's going on, it's supposed to be us. If the Holy Ghost has taken what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us, if there's a dummy in the crowd, it's because they chose to be. It's because they won't believe the Bible. You know, well, I'm not just very bright. You aren't very bright. You got born again and still acting like an idiot. Saying dumb stuff. I got the nature of God in me and I'm still a fool. You know? What? Hallelujah. See, you need to begin, this is just areas you need to learn to talk right. You need to say the right things. See, people don't, you know, say, my God, you know, you get older, your mind don't work as good. That's a total impossibility with me. That's a total impossibility. My mind's not tied to my body. My mind isn't tied to that. My mind's tied to my inner man. In the spirit of my mind, not off of what, you know, somebody else says it ought to be. Most people, they have their problems because of what they talk. If you can't get them to shut their mouths, it'll never change. Because they talk all the stuff that they hear and all the stuff that the doctors have told them. Well, sure, the doctors have told them and found out all that's true because everybody's been saying it. And what they have said's come to pass. They keep confessing it. You know, idiot, after a while, you'll have the proof. You'll act like one. And then the person will say, see, I told you so. Like it was some kind of great feat, you know. Like, wow, boy, see how right I am? But I want to encourage you. See, the Bible tells us, you know, we're supposed to renew our minds. We renew our minds with the Word of God, but we renew our minds by getting the Word on the inner man, on the inside of you, in your spirit. That's why the Bible talks about meditation. He didn't talk about... The one thing we need to know, you know, we use the Scripture, King James... Paul writing to Timothy said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Actually, that word doesn't mean study. It means to be diligent. Now, there's nothing the matter from the standpoint of like studying through the Word, looking things up and things like that. That's fine. But it's about a diligence. And when we deal with the areas of diligence, we're talking about spiritually being diligent. Spiritually. Now, you need to understand this. If we get over, just like an area I had mentioned about worship, people have this idea of what God wants and what God likes. Now, we read where it said that we must worship God in the Spirit. What is this? God is seeking, or God is looking for the ones who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, people make this stuff and you hear these things. Well, you know, we need heartfelt worship, or we need more sincere worship, and we say all those terms. Did that say that at all in that Scripture? You need to understand this. You can be sincere and so totally sincerely wrong. God didn't ask you to be sincere. Why? Why didn't He? Why did He put down God's looking for somebody just real sincere worship? Now see, people say this stuff, but see, we need to get this stuff out of here. I'm going to tell you what, if I'm operating out of my spirit, it's going to be sincere because my heart is created after the likeness of image of God, and it's after God. The problem's not sincerity. Many people sincerely, I know people who sincerely seek God, but they don't seek Him by faith. So therefore, they never get rewarded. Are they sincere? Will sincerity itself get you reward? No! Will hard labor and work going after God get you something? No. The Bible tells us things that we must do. A little hard work with it and labor at it wouldn't hurt. But that's not what makes it work. He said, we worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, I have to be in line with what the Bible says to do it. The truth. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the living Word. We were given this Word. The Holy Spirit takes this Word through Jesus Christ and reveals what Jesus is trying to show us and talk to us about. And He reveals it to us through our spirit, through the inner man. The inner man. Not through the outer man, through the inner man. He reveals it to us. God wants to renew our mind. We need to have our minds renewed. What? With the Word of God. We renew our minds with the Word of God. The Word of God, what? The Holy Ghost who teaches us. The Holy Ghost, where is He at? Is the Holy Ghost living in Ed's head? Nah. Sometimes I wonder if there's much running up there in that thing sometimes. Sometimes that thing gets weird. But the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. It's one thing that I would hate to have to think about that I had to think about what this Word said. I'd be in trouble. I don't know about you. I'd be in trouble if it wouldn't be for the Holy Ghost. You know, what I would come up with out of here, there's no telling. That's why you hear so much different stuff preached all the time. When the Lord showed me years ago some things about the end times and the church leaving and stuff, and I said the Lord about it. Well, man, I said, my God, they got 20 different ways they preach this stuff. And He said this to me, yes, and 19 of them are wrong. Why? Too many are preaching what somebody else said. They have no revelation from God. They buy somebody's book, He said. I've read loads of good books on stuff, but I don't care. If the Holy Ghost doesn't reveal it to me, then I'm taking it. You know, you just can't sit down and say, well, so-and-so taught it. If you know how many hundreds of times I had people come to me and say, well, you taught this. Well, so-and-so said. I don't care what so-and-so said. What did God say? And they'd always look at you like, oh. They don't care what God said. Their favorite preacher said it's this way. What did God say? What's the Holy Ghost revealed on the subject? You know, people want miracles and all kinds of things. And we look and we, you know, talk about Guy Smith Wigglesworth and all these different people. You know why Smith Wigglesworth was where he was? Because he knew God. Dear Lord, the Holy Ghost revealed things to him. It wasn't because he was a genius or he knew things. And people are trying to have what he had just through natural reading the Word and doing stuff. It don't come that way. That man had revelation from heaven. That man knew God. He knew God so well, if somebody bad-talked God, he'd probably kick him in the rear end. I mean, he did. One guy, he turned around and prayed for in a service for healing, and the guy came back up next service, said he didn't get healed. He kicked him in the rear end, told him, get off the stage. He said, you liar. He said, God healed you. You may not have accepted it, but God healed you. You liar, you don't lie about God. We need more preachers like that, kicking some butt. Today, these lazy people. You know, it's like people today. Well, you just go back to the government and get another check. That's what they're used to. Somebody else just take care of it for me. You know, I don't have to. This laziness, we need to understand this. This kind of laziness, we got to throw as much American thinking out of us as we can. If we want to survive, we got to chuck as much of it as we can. Because it's a lot of lousy stuff. I mean, we're lazy. I mean, we have a Congress that is so lazy that they make, I'll tell you, anybody working halfway for a living is doing 1,000 times more. Do you realize, just go through this here. Our Senate, this past Friday, this big NSA thing going on and all these phone. Now, all the NSA heads and all these different intelligence people were getting together to talk to the Senate. And I'm using this as an example of laziness is why people are in the same problem spiritually because they follow the same patterns. So on Friday, they want to have them talking. Of 100 senators, only 47 of them showed up. The rest of them left Thursday, went home because Father's Day. I'm going to tell you, we need some fathers in our nation. Amen. These scumbags don't even deserve to be in Congress. I'm so fed up with this bunch of Democrats and Republicans. I'm fed up because lying, cheating, stealing, talking about being good and doing things, they're evil. Their flesh means more than anything. If anybody can't see the trouble we're in this nation, that I got to get home for Father's Day. I got to get home for Father's Day so my kids can pat me on the back while I sell their nation down the tubes. I'm such a wonderful, godly father. A good image. Dear God. But we need to understand this. The reason these things go on is because of the spiritual condition in our nation, because most Christians are identically the same way. They wouldn't give a holiday up for God. Oh yeah. See, there comes a time, and I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day. If we're still practicing what we did 3 or 4 years ago, you're probably in sin up to your neck. I mean, we're living in dangerous times. There's Christians going to drop like flies. The devil's going to kill them. You can't play games now. The devil got the big guns out. You better have a bigger one. You better know who you are. You better come when he pulls the gun out and say, you got a blank, buddy. Hit the road. But if you can't, you'll go down with it. See, we're in a day. I mean, if you haven't noticed what's going on and what's happening, and we need to know. We're in a position, a place, a time. It isn't, do I want to learn to be led by the Spirit? I'm just going to tell you it's a must. We can't do the things the same anymore. We got to stop and say, hey, hold it. Things have got to change. I'm number one on the list. I'm number one on the list. I got to change. I can't do what I did before. I can't think. I got to get myself over. I got to get over. Get yourself focused on the fact. And I just want to say this because we'll probably talk about this a little bit more. But we got to get ourselves focused over there in the areas of being a spirit being and get into communion with God. Because if we want our minds to change and we want to bring our bodies under, we're going to have to do it. If you can do it through your own mentality and your own things, what do we need God for? See, I don't believe you can do it. I don't believe men can live good lives without God. I don't believe, you know, I believe it's a total impossibility. God wants you to get over and start to think about who you really are, not how you see you. The best thing that you could lose your mind over is who you think you are. Who you think you are. Where you think your problems are. What you think is going. That's what holds people back. That's what held me back from things. Is going over there reasoning with my mind. But you come over to the area of the Spirit and you find out a wonderful thing and it's called truth. You know what the truth is? You're a child of God. The truth is you're born of God. The truth is you have the divine nature in you. You have divine nature. You have the divine nature of God. Do you realize this stuff? People talk about God incarnated. Do you know that God is still incarnated in men? Does the Holy Ghost live in you? Is God in man? We don't ever talk about it. I'll tell you, Ed's incarnated. Hallelujah. Born of God. God's in a man. Oh, get the rocks out now. We're going to stone this blasphemer as soon as we can. But I'll tell you what, if we want to go somewhere, if you want to step into some place, you got to relieve that religion. You got to get away from that teaching that makes you just mere men. If you don't leave it, I'm going to guarantee you, you'll never see what you want to see. You'll have to watch Benny Hinn to see a miracle because you'll never see one come through you. You'll have to watch somebody else do something. You'll have to watch God use somebody else. Because if you can't change the way that you think, you've got to change it. And you do that, why? God reveals Himself. You get to know who you really are. That's what God wants you to know today, who you really are. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner at one time. You are a child of God today. You have eternal life. It's not something that's going to happen in the future when you leave this earth. You know, I hear that at funerals. Makes me mad. Christian died. Well, they went on to their eternal life. Dear God, I got it here. Where I need it most right now is here, not out there somewhere. Dear God, I need some eternal life right now. Hallelujah. But see, people talk, they talk about themselves wrong. They talk about, you know, God. God can do anything. We sing all things are possible, you know, and all this thing. We sing all this stuff. And we say, most people say, yes, God can do anything, but He probably ain't going to do nothing for me this week. You know, you just don't know what I've done. Well, why do you confess your sin, get it under the blood, and get blessed? No, because you live in the flesh, you think in the flesh, you see yourself as you have made in your own image. We talk about idol worship. The church is one of the biggest idol worshipers because we put what God's Word said that we are way down here, and our image of ourself is what we worship and view ourselves. Throw it out. If you don't throw it out, you won't change. You won't change. The Bible, what the Bible says is true. Tell Holy Ghost, teach me the Word. I want to know. I want to see how God sees me. I want to see what God says on the subject. I'm tired of seeing what I saw on the subject. You know. See, if you go on and nothing changes in 10 years, you should wake up to the fact you're heading in the wrong direction. It's like, hold it, this ain't working. Hallelujah. If beating yourself with the law hasn't improved your flesh, then you need to stop and say, hold it, I've been doing this whole thing wrong. Something's wrong, this ain't working. Hallelujah. I found out what changes things. I learned through Kenneth Hagin. I started listening to his ministry. And Kenneth Hagin used to say this all the time. I don't minister to men's bodies and I don't minister to their minds. I minister to their hearts. I minister to the Spirit. But yet, there's many people that listen to him and they listen by their mind. They just listen by their flesh. But he was trying to talk to their hearts. It's for their hearts. It's for their inner man. The wonderful, the Bible says those wonderful blessings and truth, they're for your heart. They're true. They're true about you. Every one of them's true. Every promise is true. And that's what God wants to do for you. Every one of them. That's God's plan. You don't have to sit down and pray to find out that if He wants to bless you. I'm going to tell you, I done read the book. He's got so many blessings, I still run into new ones. It's in the book. All the promises of God are yes and amen. It's a matter of receiving it and saying, hold it. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It's true. It took me, it didn't happen overnight, but I used to say that scripture all the time. I refuse to listen to anything anybody else is trying to get blessed. You know, it ain't trying to get blessed. It is blessed. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ has already been given to Ed. It ain't trying to get them. They all belong to him. Just like Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He used to say, you know, God gave us checks to write, and he gave us an unlimited bank account, and all we ever do is write little checks. He said, we just keep writing little checks. No, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, all of them have been given to you. You're going to determine by the check you write. You can either say, well, I'm a scumbag, you know, and I don't deserve anything good from God. You know, I might be a scumbag tomorrow, but you know what? The bank don't determine what I get out of that. I determine what I get out of the bank by the money I have there. You don't go in and they say, hey, you were a scumbag this week. You can't withdraw. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you're going to always be a scumbag if you can't withdraw. It's through the withdrawal of God, hallelujah, that takes scumbags and gets men and women acting like God. If you got to be a wonderful person to get the blessing, dear God, we ain't going to do too well, folk. Hallelujah. I need the blessing so I can be changed. Hallelujah. And so do you. Glory to God. God will only bless us because we've done everything right. He's in big trouble. Because it ain't going to turn out nothing like He wants it to in the earth. He gave grace to turn you and I into something different. And bless God, it will. Hallelujah. It made you something different. You are. Let's stand to your feet. I tell you, you can just go on and preach us. Glory to God, it's so good. Hallelujah. You're children of God. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Thank you so much for your kindness, your blessing you've bestowed on the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you that today as we stand here before you, we're born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are children of God. You made us that way through Christ Jesus. Father, we're not going to speak about ourselves in any other way because it would discredit all that our great, wonderful Master has done. And we will not do that. I will not discredit Jesus Christ. He is everything the Word says He is, and He has done for us everything that the Word says He has done for us. We have become everything that He says we are. Hallelujah. He went to great pains to deliver us from the bondages of sin and set us on high in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. And I thank you, Father God, we're the church and we're seated in glory. And I thank you, Satan today as a defeated foe. We're not trying to defeat him. I thank you, Jesus did all the defeating that need to be done. Devil, we put you on notice in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not put up with your shenanigans. shenanigans anymore, and the things that you do, we're not going to put up with those things. Hallelujah. Because we don't have to. You're a defeated foe. Hallelujah. You cannot stand against the blood nor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that name was given to us. It's ours. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are Christ in the earth. And we thank you. We stand in that name. And all the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us is ours. And we declare it so in Jesus' name. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. It's ours. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you today that Jesus Christ Himself took our sin. Father, I thank you today, Lord God, that we can confess any sin or anything we have done in error. Lord God, we can confess it, and the blood of Jesus Christ will remove it and cleanse us from that thing. We never, ever have to again walk in any guilt for it. Hallelujah. I thank you. The blood is working powerfully today. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father God, that Jesus Christ Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, that by His stripes we were healed. I want to thank you. Everybody here today is healed in the name of Jesus. Everyone is healed. Jesus took every infirmity today in the name of Jesus. It's taken. We believe what the Scripture says. It's right. Jesus Christ can't lie. Body, you're going to have to shut up. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut. You're going to have to obey the Word of God and get in line, body. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, the Word is true. If Jesus Christ says I'm healed, then that's it. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I will not listen to another voice that tells me something else. I will believe only what the Scripture says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have given us Jesus Christ's very mind. I want to thank you that, Father God, we think heavenly thoughts. Hallelujah. We're being renewed in the spirit of our mind, thinking just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thinking His very thoughts in the name of Jesus. They're ours. We receive His mind. Hallelujah. If I've been given the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus, I receive it. Hallelujah. I take it for me in Jesus' name. I take it. Say that. I take it for me in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. It belongs to me. I think so good. I think just like Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that there is no weapon that can formed against us can prosper. Jesus Christ is the victory and the defeat over everything that Satan has brought against us, and we're the church. And I want to thank you. It will not prosper against us, but we will prosper in Jesus' name in every area of our lives. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, you have made a plan for our financial prosperity and blessing in this earth. Of all the things that we need, Lord God, so we can carry out your plans and purposes in the earth. I thank you, Father God. Every spiritual blessing, every blessing of heaven, hallelujah, has been given to us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word says, became poor so I could be rich. I want to thank you. I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'm rich in the name of Jesus. I'm rich in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Get that on your voice. Learn to say, I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'm rich in Jesus' name. I'm not looking at my bank account. I'm rich. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My bank account's going to obey me. I'm not going to obey my checking account. Are you? Hallelujah. I hope you don't. You keep talking your bank account, and that's all you're going to have. Hallelujah. You start telling your bank account what it's going to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're rich. God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. It's like it came up in my spirit when the Lord told me about, it spoke to me about the 128th Psalm, hallelujah. And that man who fears the Lord and walks in His way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. Hallelujah. See, we need to start declaring the devil ain't going to have our families. Hallelujah. Refuse it. The devil ain't going to have our kids. Our kids ain't going to hell. We ain't going to hell. We're going off to heaven. You need to get it on your voice. You need to, well, I'll tell you, we talk to them, but they don't listen. You need to learn to shut your mouth. You're the problem. I want to tell you, you're the problem. You're saying the wrong things. Hallelujah. The Lord told me if I would do what He told me to do, I would walk where He told me to walk. He said that He would take care of my family. He's not a liar. That scripture was not written for Ed Gibson. It was written for people of faith. Hallelujah. And that's what we are. We're blessed. Ain't nobody blessed and their kids are going to hell. Hallelujah. We ain't having that. Our kids are going to heaven. Our families are going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's what we're having. Hallelujah. They might fight like they can to go to hell, but we ain't letting them go. We ain't letting them go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're just going to have to go to heaven whether they like it or not. Hallelujah. They're just going to accept Jesus because we're not going to have it any other way. Glory to God. Our families are not just precious to us. They're precious to God. Hallelujah. And your people, Lord God, it belong to God. And if it means something to you, it means something to Him. He made you what you are. He didn't put love in you for your family, and if He's working against it, hallelujah, He's for it. And if you just walk, you follow God, you follow the Word, He will not fail you. He will not fail you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe the world has families like ever they want. Ours aren't going to be. Hallelujah. These are days of great change, and you watch it. It's days of great change. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, people are going to come in from afar. Hallelujah. They might seem like they're really out there. It don't matter. They ain't too far away from God. He can drag them in. Hallelujah. If they're still in this earth, they're hardly anywhere. Did you ever think about this? We see light from stars from billions of light years ago, and we're only seeing it today hitting the earth. My God, how far out is that thing? Way out there? Well, my God, if our families are here in the earth, God can sure reach them, can't He?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If He can put stars out there. Did you ever think about this? There's probably stars out there created that are so far away that the light hasn't hit the earth yet. Did you know that? Our God is so big in creation. What must He be? If His creation's like this, the Creator's always better than His creation. What must He be? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't hide from God. The universe ain't big enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you don't have a fun Father's Day after this, that's your fault. Don't blame me. Tried my best. I tell you, I preached me happy today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's good. Woo! Glory to God. Have yourself an absolutely wonderful, wonderful day. Amen.